Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today our reflection is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled Be in Tune with God's Plan.
Thank you, and thank you, Lynn, for reading from the book of Jeremiah.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Jedekiah sent to him Pashur, son of Malachi, the priest of Zephani and son of Mese, saying, "Please inquire of the Lord on our behalf, for King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will perform a wonderful deed for us, as he has often done, and will make him withdraw from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to Jedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I am going to turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands and with which you are fighting against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the walls. And I will bring them together into the center of this city. I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and mighty arm, in anger, in fury, and in great wrath. And I will strike down the inhabitants of this city, both human beings and animals. They shall die of a great pestilence. Afterwards, says the Lord, I will give King Zedekiah of Judah and his servants and the people in this city, those who survived the pestilence, sword, and famine, into the hands of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, into the hands of their enemies, into the hands of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them or spare them or have compassion. And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, see, I am setting before you the way of life and the way of death. Those who stay in this city shall die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence. But those who go out and surrender to the Chaldeans who are besieging you shall live and shall have their lives as a prize of war. For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And then our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel of John. Thank you, Dave.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went in. Now Jesus, who had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him, the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in his spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much for those reading. At first, I was kind of a little bit shocked and discouraged, kind of two readings that feel so different. One that speaks, that seems to show a God of wrath and vengeance, saying that that's it, I have set my mind to destroy this city, and who kind of describe a horrible end of Jerusalem. And then the New Testament that speaks of a God of love, Jesus representing, showing the Father's desires for his creation and being deeply moved when he sees death. No wonder in some points in Christian history, some people have said, well, the God of the Old Testament was one kind of God and the God of the New Testament is a very different. And we should forget the one of the Old Testament and just concentrate on the one of the New. That has been challenged by Christians to show that this was not the case. And when I took a bit more time to look at the Old Testament, I realized that God actually gives them a way out, not the way out they wanted. So the king came and says, maybe God is going to save this city at the end. But Jeremiah had time and time again said that unless they repented, that would come. And it was here not about repentance or about listening to God this time, but about just realizing that they were hitting a wall and they just wanted God to do whatever they wanted to do, not what God wants it. So Jeremiah doesn't change his message, saying God has made a decision. This city will be destroyed and it will be terrible. But at the end, if we read, he gives a chance, he gives a way out. See, I said before you the way of life and the way of death. If you want to live, get out of the city right now, hand you over to the Chaldean, and they will let you live. They had to trust again the word of God instead of trusting material, their city. They believed that the city would never fall. And he said, but if you choose to stay in the city, not only will you suffer first during the siege, and many will die of pestilence and famine, and even you're going to kill one another, but even after that, when the city will, the wall will break down, and they will take you prisoner, they won't take you alive, they will kill you, will strike them down with the edge of the sword. So if you really want to listen to my voice, if you really have learned your lesson to listen to what I say, then get out of the city. And that was the mark whether they were really wanted to listen to God or whether they wanted to have their own way. And what strikes me in the other passage is that Jesus was the one who was always listening to his Father. Another passage says, me and the Father are one. I do only what I see the Father doing. And that kind of life, a life that is fully in tune with the will of the Father, for me is quite incredible. Faced with such a challenge of death, the prayer that Jesus does is not a very long prayer. It's not an intercession of hours and hours. He already knew his Father's will, and he was willing to do it. Father, I thank you for having heard me, he said. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus' mission was that people would come to believe that he was the one sent by God to bring about salvation, to bring about new life, to bring about the turning around of the curse, which was sin and death. And in John's Gospels, there were signs. Jesus didn't heal every single one. Lots of people died and stayed dead. But there were signs, signs of what God was starting to do and what he would do, not just in and through Jesus and his own resurrection, but one day through all of his creation and to those who believe in him. One of the commentaries speaks of Jesus being the good shepherd and sees reading this passage as a shepherd calling out his sheep to life. And in a sense, this is a picture of what happens to us when we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, when we come to life spiritually, when we realize that we were ourselves dead to sin through sin and death. But when we hear the voice of Jesus for the first time, it's like we see the world differently. We see God differently, and we see ourselves differently for the first time. And like a good shepherd, Jesus then calls us out from death to life. He tells also others to help us to be unbound and to be free. And that's what God wants us in our lives, that the things that keeps us captive, that keeps us bound and slow us down, that we will be freed and we will learn to walk more freely with God. It doesn't mean a life of just pure happiness and easy. It can be a life of suffering, but it's a life that is full because we learned to know God personally and to perceive his plans. And like Jesus, but maybe more slowly, to learn to be more in tune with his intentions and with his plans. So I know that some of us are exploring what is the next step in our lives, what are God's intentions, and we can be assured that God has good plans and he's with us. And we can trust that when we align ourselves with his purposes, that he will give us life and make us fruitful. So let's pray. Let's pray for those we know that are in difficult places where they feel maybe they don't hear God anymore, or they don't feel they are fulfilling God's plans or purpose. Maybe they feel a bit like stuck in Jerusalem, surrounded by enemies and fearful. And let's pray for the life of God's church. Maybe sometimes churches are in times where they are disciplined, so that and they may realize that they are running in their own steam instead of God's steam. Let's pray that we will learn to hear God's voice, and where there is need to repent or to change our ways, that we will be courageous to do God's ways and not try again to tell God what to do, but in humility to be willing to do what he wants. And let's continue to pray for our world, for Christians around the world, and especially our brothers and sisters in places where challenges are great because of war, because of famine, because of reality of a still a broken world.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.